Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hello, everyone. This is Mary Lurson, the Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to Talking Up Music Education. We are here at day two of the NAMM show on January 20, and we've had a wonderful series of conversations with people that are involved with music education advocacy, artists, very interesting wide range of guests. And I'm delighted to have with me Terry Wallman.
Hi, Mary. I'm happy to be here.
Who is kind of a big deal in the music industry and the side of music production. Terry, tell us about your background and the cool things that you've done.
Well, my background is diverse. I was born and raised in Miami. Both my parents were teachers, so I grew up in a family of education with a deep love and respect for education. Went to school in Boston, first in Miami. Had an amazing education, and then went to Boston to Berklee College and got a degree in arranging. And then moved to Los Angeles in 1981, seeking fame and fortune. Actually, wasn't really looking for fame. I was looking to be able to make music with the best people in the world and to the best of my ability, and moved there in 1981. Started my first tour was with Billy Preston. I went to Europe playing guitar with Billy and Sarita Wright, and then came back and was working with Joe Sample and the Crusaders, which was a remarkable experience. And Joe was a mentor and friend. And then have worked my way, surprisingly, into being a recording artist, which was, I always wanted to be the guy that was on the, when you flip the record over, you'd see produced by, arranged by, guitar by Terry Wallman. But somehow I ended up being the guy in the front cover as well, and I've embraced it and have enjoyed it because I've always written music as well.
So how many albums have you?
I believe I have 7 records out.
My
and then
goodness.
I also have the great experience of co-producing Melissa Manchester's 20th album, which was released, I believe, about a year ago, and that was a really remarkable and fun experience. Mm. Not so much, you know, collaborating with such a seasoned artist who is also very involved in mentoring and education as well. So
this whole combination of, you know, training as a serious player, right? And then morphing into the production role, right? Is that just kind of go along with the package of being a serious player?
Not for everybody.
No, I mean, how does that happen and combine?
Well, I think it's part of my personality. I'm not a control freak, but I love collaborating with musicians, and I am extremely focused. And a lot of musicians that I know that are phenomenal players, they're only good at one thing. They've just sat in that corner of the room their whole life and practiced for thousands of hours, and all they can do is play. And I kind
which
of
which is okay.
It's amazing.
It's
I
really
kind of
important.
Admire those
right?
those
right.
players. But I was always drawn to the people that could show up and play their butt off, but also be able to write a great song or a great string arrangement or conduct or put a band together. And there's something about the collaborating and the leading that I really enjoy, because I basically, as a producer and as a music director, I don't control, I guide and move us all forward together collectively.
So part of it was following that instinct that you had almost as a creative architect.
Yeah, very good choice of word.
I'm hearing that in what you're describing to me, that it was, I get my part in the orchestra, but I see the orchestra.
Yeah.
I get my know where I am in the band and I know where the tour gig is, but I see the evolution of the tour gig itself and the creation of the tour. I feel it. I see it. I'm going there.
Yeah. And right? I love doing both. I have found that some of the strongest leaders are the ones that are also great sidemen. or women. So, you know, fantastic musicians that understand their place in the machinery of creating a great record or a great live performance. They've honed their craft, and which I have. I mean, I've sat in that corner and practiced my whole life as well. So it's really fun to not be in charge and just to show up and play
your part
and right. Play my part. I believe you're interviewing a dear friend of mine, Keb Mo, as well. And I joined his band for a year, and it was really fun because it wasn't my responsibility to be in charge. It was my responsibility to play and to have a good time and to be healthy and happy and contribute to the performance. And that for me is as much of a thrill and as rewarding to me artistically as when I'm the one standing in front having the support band along with me, and my responsibility is to communicate with the audience and think about the arc of the show. And they're both, I wouldn't want to do just one.
Well, that's who you are, right?
Yes.
It's like both sides of your brains were calling out, and the phones were ringing, and you picked up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you got into it, and you did the hard work,
yeah,
on both sides. You know, a lot of times, and I want to talk about your podcast, Making It.
Yes,
I talk about that. But a lot of times, our interaction with young people that are here at the NAMM show to explore their careers, we hear that term, I want to produce. You know, there's a bot batted around, I want to produce. They bless their hearts, right? And
right.
I believe they do. I believe they do want
sure.
to produce. But you know, but what has to be paid attention to when someone says, I want to produce? What do they have to really answer inside themselves?
They need to understand that it's a selfless thing to do. You know,
the best producers.
Yes, the best producers
care about the product of the other.
That's is it, right. It's really.
Did I put words in your mouth?
Or? Well, you got to them before I would. So,
okay.
But so you understand me. You yeah. have a good sense of who I am already. You know, it's really about serving the music and serving the song. That's what I do when I produce my own records. That's what I do when I produce other artists. And even, you know, there's a collective selflessness that I've discovered because, for example, producing Melissa Manchester's record along with her, we had guest artists like Joe Sample, Stevie Wonder, Al Jarreau, Dionne Warwick, Dave Koz. Remarkable experiences with all of these people coming in, and I was producing it. And I found each of them, even with Stevie Wonder, I mean, who I never worked with Steve before. And he basically had brought all of his harmonicas. We were featuring him on one of the songs. And before we started, he said to me, look, I'm pretty sure that you have a very clear idea of what it is that you want me to do, or you wouldn't have asked me to be here. So please tell me what it is that you need so I can make that happen.
You know, I do some public speaking and I do some public and I was a classical music performer
What's your instrument?
I was a flutist. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you do that, there's no producers. You just basically open the door to the stage and you walk out and you play, right?
But there's a conductor.
Right. Well, that's in an orchestra, but I was a solo recitalist and all that.
Yes.
But anyway, that's a whole nother, you know, that's another podcast we could do, right? You know, we need a therapist here for that, right? I've learned over the years when I've done sort of larger public programs, which we are doing tomorrow at our grand rally, and I've worked with a producer. Boy, it is a precious support when you really want to go out and do your best job
right.
and deliver a message or a program or a piece of music. So what Stevie said to you probably speaks right from he knows how he needs to do it the best.
Absolutely.
Which is to have someone there.
Right.
Kind of guiding and supporting.
Yeah.
It makes all the difference.
But it's still, you know, the thing that we all shared besides our passion and respect for each other was really this point of view that you serve the song. That's what a producer does.
That's really
And that's
cool.
what a great musician does. You see, that's why it's all
that's
connected
great.
To me. When somebody hires me to play guitar on their record, I'm still serving the song and the music and the artist.
And I would say, someone could say, and maybe that would be me,
yes.
that that's probably why you are having a successful serial career,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because serial career, good
because it
words.
Starts with I'm here to make something or someone else lift it up, make it lift it up,
right.
Lift up the art, lift
right.
up.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us, please drop some names now. Who have you worked with besides Melissa Manchester, and who have you produced?
Well, that experience alone was unbelievable. Right. For me to be producing.
We want to hear it all.
For me to be telling Stevie Wonder what to do or
Which
Al Jarreau.
Harmonica? No, not that harmonica, yeah. Stevie, please.
Dionne Warwick was just spectacular. I have, I've worked with a lot of artists because in a very unique situation, I music directed two late night talk shows. Those were late 80s, early 90s for a period of about 5 years. I was on TV, on camera.
Which ones?
The first show was called The Late Show on Fox. And it was after Joan Rivers had done the show. It was her show. And then they went off the air. She left the show. They came back with this wonderful band, Jack Mack and the Heart Attack, this blue-eyed soul band who I knew and I loved them. And the show wanted a music director and I got recommended. And I came in and we worked together. I occasionally played guitar on the show. My deal with the producer of the show, I said, I understand you're not hiring me to play guitar, but if we ever need to have a second guitar player, it's going to be me. That's what I do for a living. If I'm not the right guy, I'll hire somebody that is. You want a heavy metal guy, I'll bring in the best. So I did that for a year and worked with everyone from Speedo and the Cadillacs to Joe Walsh. We just, the whole gamut, it was musically, even MC Hammer, some of the early hip hop guys, came through. And so it was very diverse, country music, rock, pop, everything. And then from that point on, I went to music direct the Byron Allen Show for 3 years. And I brought my band to that show. So I was writing all the music for the show and playing my own instrumental music and then doing all the arrangements and interfacing. That's where I first worked with Al Jarreau. We played together. There were so many people, Bobby Womack, Whitney Houston, just on and on. I'd have to look at my resume to remember because it was
cool.
Each of those were so remarkable experiences, but they were over an extended period of time.
Yeah.
What I found the most ironic was that many of these people that I worked with and intimately because I was the music director, the arranger, the guitar player on camera performing with them, leading the band, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to even audition to play guitar for them. Yeah, because I wouldn't have necessarily heard about the auditions because that information is held tightly many times. But to sort of bypass that and have dialogue and conversation like you and I are having, how do you want to do the ending? Do you do it in the same key? What mm-hmm. are you thinking about the tempo? It was a remarkable experience and I learned a lot.
And the experiences go on. So talk us, let's end with you just giving us a pitch for your cool podcast.
My radio show, yes.
It's your radio show and a podcast?
It broadcasts live. It sort of functions as both. It's not technically a podcast. It's an hour-long live broadcast that then gets archived similar to a podcast. So you can download it on iTunes or you can find them at entertalkradio.com/makingit. The name of my show is Making It with Terry Wallman. And it's an hour long show where I have unedited, uncensored dialogue with a different guest artist each time for each episode. And I bring in, I've had Alan and Marilyn Bergman, Melissa Manchester, Ray Parker Jr., who wrote Ghostbusters, just always kind of shifting it up. I actually, the day after the election, I had my high school music teacher who moved from music to being a political activist, and he moved to Washington, D.C. His name's Sam Harris, and he's a published author. And I had him on the show, and we talked about the election. Regardless of which way it was going to go and where it went, we talked about it. And we basically talked about being a musician and being artistic and then moving that artistic expression into something that's activism, something that's more directly related to making a change in the world, although music does the same I approach it the same. So we basically talk about what it takes to make a career in the ever-changing landscape of the music business, which is a moving target, what it takes to maintain a career, the importance of passion and humor and things that are important, not just in music, but in life. So I've been given free rein by both Paul and Florentino, the producers of the show. And it's been very stimulating for me. I really enjoy it because I get to ask questions that I'm curious about or ask questions that I know the answer to, but I want to share some information with the listening audience. For instance, Melissa Manchester did a TED Talk. Mm-hmm. Who knew? I knew because she told me and I saw it and it was fascinating. So I asked her about that. So we're asking Alan and Marilyn Bergman, do you ever write without each other? And they don't.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And we too are fortunate to have a relationship with EverTalk Radio, with our Talking Music Education. So isn't it great that we can be out there sharing all these creative ideas? And I think the world is hungry for them.
I agree.
I think it's hopeful. I think what we bring are hopeful content.
Yes.
And that the aspiration of a person's creativity is the essence of it all. So
it is, and I'm committed to keeping that alive.
And so are we, and so are all of us here at NAMM, at the NAMM Show and the NAMM Foundation. So Terry Wallman, my coolness quotient just went way up the fact that I could have this interview time with you. So thank you so much.
It's so nice to meet you. Yes. and thank you everybody for supporting this great organization.
Great. So thank you for being with us live from the NAMM Show at Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
The NAMM Foundation would like to thank Vocal Booth for their support in providing a recording booth for these podcasts recorded live at NAMM 2017. Whether you're recording, rehearsing, tracking, mixing, or overdubbing, Vocal Booth has a solution that's right for you. Learn more at vocalbooth.com.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.